Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Found everywhere podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Hello, everybody. Another week, and we've got some big stuff coming up this week, Craig. The Pirates have some decisions to make. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, man. We got some decisions coming down within 4 days here. So we're recording on the 16th. So depending on when you listen to this, by the 20th, they have to add the minor leaguers that they want to protect from the 40-man. We talked about it last week. We talked about Max Kranick. We talked about Brandon Ogle. We talked about Rodolfo Castro. Three guys that I would like to see protected. They're going to have to do. They're going to have to look at guys that they can move off of the 40 man and that still have options and that could possibly pass through waivers. They might have to look at some early non-tenders because, like I said before last time, the non-tenders didn't come out until. Basically the last minute, but also that's, you know, Ben Cherington had just gotten in there. So I'm hoping he's got his foot on the gas this week and is just going to start making some moves real quick, to maybe get some guys down in the minor leagues that, you know, that will pass through waivers and to also maybe just start to non-tender some guys that you don't see as part of the future.
What you can essentially do is try to just basically DFA guys, you know, try to send them down. And if you're taking them off the 40-man roster and they clear, they're still, another team might want to pick them up and go through arbitration with them. That has happened before. And so that's a way that some players end up, they think they're going to do arbitration with, let's say, the Pittsburgh Pirates. They end up getting released so that a team can make room on the 40-man, and they still are arbitration eligible for another team that picks them up, and then they get picked up by that team, and the first thing that happens is their arbitration hearing with a team that they never played for. So it's a really interesting dynamic to the whole system, but it happens that way. Like you said last week, Trevor Williams, you don't see why they should bring him back. You don't see why they should pay that money to him. So this would be the kind of guy that this week, why not just let him go? And what you do is you try to do it all at once, because if you flood the amount of guys that you're putting out there, maybe some of your guys slip through and make it back into your system. And that's what I would think the Pirates will do. There'll be a day, there'll be a massive flurry of moves. It might happen all on the same day. It might happen on the 20th or on the evening of the 19th. You're going to start seeing things on Twitter. You're going to start seeing things in the transaction pools. Something like that is going to start happening. It'll be interesting to see what the Pirates end up doing. You think they're going to make room, though, for these three guys?
I would think for at least those three guys. And I could see more moves made because if guys are getting non-tendered at any point in time, it might be guys that you might want to pick up. So you have to have spots to add them. And like we talked about before, you know, when the Rule 5 draft comes up, if you want to add anybody else there. So I think they need to make at least three spots. And we've talked about possibly five, and I wouldn't be mad if they made more.
If I were Ben Cherington, I'd clear five guys right off the deck right now. He knows. He knows who his worst five guys on his 40-man are. This is a team, again, in a rebuild. Clear the decks of those five guys. Have flexibility. Be ready to go. Know that you're bringing on three to five to protect in your own organization. And if all of a sudden a guy starts falling off another team, and somebody's trying to pass him through waivers, you can claim. So start grabbing those guys. I mean, think about it. You had the worst record last year. You're going to get some players that are going to shake loose from another organization that the Pirates can add onto their roster.
Yeah, because we've already seen it, Chris, where teams, were not picking up options on players that, you know, they thought they were going to pick up options on, you know, because they said there's going to be this, you know, money crunch with the whole COVID thing or whatever it would be. So there could be some teams that could make some surprise arbitration decisions and it might, you know, factor in favor of the Pirates.
November 20th is the deadline to get minor leaguers on your 40-man. December 2nd is the tender deadline for arbitration. And then very shortly after that, December 6th through the 10th, winter meetings will be virtual instead of in Texas this year. They cancel them as an in-person event. They will all be remote. Normally, you see a lot of moves happen. It's going to kill guys that are like big-time agents that like to get in front of cameras that week because they're not going to have reporters chasing them all over the place. And at the end of the winter meetings on December 10th, the Rule 5 draft. So the next couple of weeks are going to be an awful lot of fun. You also have a fun guest you sat down with. Introduce him for us.
Yeah, this is Jason Martinez. He does the roster resource for FanGraphs. Prior to that, for about 10 years, he did the MLB depth charts and roster resource by himself pretty much and got, you know, picked up by FanGraphs. And he's a guy that is extremely knowledgeable about, you know, every player in every organization. And I ran him through some of the arbitrations. I ran him through some of the, you know, trade values of our players, discussed some Rule 5 stuff and free agency. And he had a lot of great information to give us, man.
And he's here now on Bucks in the Basement, found everywhere podcasts can be found and always at bucksinthebasement.com.
Jason Martinez, he is Mr. Roster Resource from FanGraphs. He had started, what was it, MLB Depth Charts Roster Resource probably about 10, 11 years ago. He's a guy that I have this like pulled up on my my screen at almost all times just to get the latest transactions from across Major League Baseball, projections for rosters and everything. So if you guys haven't checked that out, you need to. Jason, thank you so much for jumping on. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. Hey, thanks for having me on, Greg.
Absolutely. So we're in the off season here, and as Pirates fans, in the middle of a build/rebuild, looking for players that could possibly be traded, looking at a large arbitration list of about 15 players, and also looking for hopefully maybe at least some players on the free agent market that we could maybe go out there and snag. I did listen. You did a FanGraphs audio, and I can't remember who you were on with. It's going to drive me nuts, but I had just listened to it not too long ago where you guys were talking about the Mets going out and they signed, I believe it was Jose Peraza, Malik Smith, and was it Vizcaino, I believe? Was some guys they picked up on some minor league deals. And I was actually kind of upset that the Pirates didn't go out and start grabbing some of those guys up quickly that had performed pretty well. Especially since they wouldn't have to add them to their 40-man. Are those types of moves that you could see the Pirates making moving forward in this offseason?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think most teams are looking for those kind of deals. I think the surprising part of that is how quickly those three guys that you mentioned, how quickly they signed. Because they're all guys that have had some success in the past, and they're all kind of young. And so you figure, hey, the Mets are a really good offensive team. It's going to be tough to crack that roster. Why wouldn't I sign with a team like the Pirates, who appear to have more opportunities? So you never know what's going on behind the scenes, especially with the minor league contracts. And there's a whole lot of guys out there, for sure. More than those guys are, you know, and there's big question marks with those guys. But just because there are guys that you've heard of that have some success, it was a little surprising that they would sign so soon. It's a pretty good team, as opposed to a team like the Pirates work. You know, if I'm a guy who doesn't have a ton of value and I'm just looking for an opportunity, I'm looking at a team that has a bunch of holes like the Pirates.
For a team that's, you know, that's in this build-rebuild, it's tough to see every single one of those guys that's on the 40-man roster, you know, being with us, especially since, you know, you have to make room for the Rule 5 players. And then we have, like I said, the 15 people for arbitration. I would think that, you know, at some point in time, we're going to see some moves here and maybe some early determinations on some arbitration. Are there any players from the Pirates between, like, we've heard Trevor Williams, Kyle Crick, Michael Feliz, Jose Ozuna, Eric Gonzalez? Do any of those names stick out to you guys as to like potential non-tender candidates that could end up in the free agent market moving forward to clear some of that space on the 40-man roster for the Pirates?
Yeah, I would think Trevor Williams is in that spot just because it's, you know, he can make somewhere between $3.5 million, $4 million, because that frees up some salary there. Somebody like Feliz, not as much. That would be more of a 40-man move, including a 40-man spot. I think there's a few others there. I'd say same with Ozuna. You know, for a guy who's on the bench, you don't want to pay $1 million for a guy who's gonna have that kind of role. But yeah, I think they have so many guys that are just not quite established. They're going into the season, and it's been an unfortunate thing for Ben Cherington is that, you know, his first year, he kind of sat back and said, okay, I'm just gonna evaluate. Let's see what I have here. You got a bunch of guys who are coming off these really good seasons. You got all these young guys with really good arms, like Feliz and Crick, and none of them, nobody had a good year. They all were, you know, terrible.
Yeah.
The Newman, so, you know, Frazier dropped Josh Bell, and so Cherington goes, you know, I got some young guys who are pretty good. Let's see if they build on that, or maybe they stay around the same level, and then we'll see what we got here. And they just all bombed, you know? So he's in a situation where he doesn't have a lot of guys who have state value. You know, Musgrove is the obvious one who, you know, 2 years of Joe Musgrove is worth a lot. And we'll see if he stops him. Besides that, you know, Stephen Brault had a decent year. Richard Rodriguez as well. And so you got a few guys that are going to have some trade value. And if it's just a matter of, you know, clearing 40-man spots, you got so many guys, so many relievers. I mean, there's, I don't know, 7 or 8 relievers that I don't even have on the projected roster right now. And, you know, it's not safe. It's good to have all those guys because, you know, especially if they have options, you want to have as many of those guys as possible. Ideally, you're going to be able to outright some guys and get them through waivers and them in the minors and not have them on your 40-man, because not all these guys are going to stay healthy. Not all of them are going to be good, and so you're just going to have to piece together enough guys to have a competitive team. So it like I said, it's unfortunate for Charrington because he was in a okay spot coming in first year. I got some guys to work with here, and now he doesn't have much. It's been a pretty bad spot at this time.
And going back to when we were talking about, like, players they've picked up, I mean, they'd already, like I said, Phillip Evans has a chance to make the team this year. Anthony Alford, somebody that they picked up off of waivers, you know, going out and getting, you know, Michael Perez as soon as he's dropped from, you know, a team that, you know, was in the World Series. So he's definitely making some of those moves. Also trying to get some guys passed through waivers. I know in the same podcast that you guys had done, you were talking about how, you know, Trapino didn't make it through. Brandon Waddell didn't make it through, and just kind of talked a little bit about that. But I definitely want to touch on, because I had written an article for our sister site here for Inside the Bucks Basement about the trade value of a Joe Musgrove. And I got a lot of feedback from people saying he's not that great of a pitcher. You know, he's a number 5 on even the best team, or a number 6. But you said, like, a guy like a Joe Musgrove with the, you know, the peripherals that he has, the different types of pitches he's been working on. Where do you see him as probably one of the more valuable trade pieces because of the down years from a Josh Bell, from an Adam Frazier? Do you see him as, would he be one of the major trade pieces for the Pirates if they would dangle him out there?
Oh yeah, he is the main guy, and that's, if you look at, like you said, the peripheral, even if it was just 8 starts, look at how his strikeout numbers jumped over 12 Ks per 9. Only 27 years old, 2 years of team control, and he's not your top of the rotation guy. He's a really solid number 3 or 4. So he's going to be a good fit on a really good team where he's not going to be a team that's was looking for a number one starter, they're going to trade you a bunch for Joe Musgrove. This is like, you know, a team that already has to get a 1 and 2, and it's about, you know, we're really close. If you get, you can slot Musgrove in as a number 3 guy, still add some upside, and you get 2 really good years from this guy. I would say, you know, somebody like Adam Frazier, even though he wasn't very good last year, he has value again to a really good team because he can play a bunch of different positions. I think he's better than he showed last year. He's had a couple really good years in the majors. He doesn't have to be one of the main guys. He's a guy who's a valuable bench player on a really good team. And so, you're not going to get a lot for him, but, you know, Charrington wants to shop around. But it's already to the point where he's pretty much stripped his team down. Even if he didn't do too much, it's just kind of that point where he can't do much else right now. I think it would have been a surprise for him to get hired. You know, and he was hired at the beginning of the last offseason, but, you know, a couple of weeks into the offseason, it would have been surprising for him to jump in there and just start trading guys away without, you know, without evaluating. So I think it was expected that he didn't do too much. But now, coming off the year that all those guys had, his hands are tied. He can't really do too much unless he's going to shop Musgrove. And, you know, he traded Marquet last year in the offseason, and I think he was looking at his team and said, this guy is the guy who has value right now. So let's make the deal and see what all these other young guys can do. And so he hasn't quite put his mark on his team, but, you know, just one draft with only 5 rounds and, you know, that one trade and a couple minor league signings and waiver claims, and it's been a slow process for him. But it's kind of hard to know what he'd do in year 2, how aggressive he'd be. And we don't know if Pirates are going to spend at all. They don't have much on the payroll now. But we just don't really know what the Pirates are going to do as far as how aggressive they're going to be in free agency. Unless they wanted to look at Musgrove and sign him to an extension, there's not much else they'd do there.
Big Joe, biggest trade piece. Frazier, not a big trade piece. And then lastly here, a lot of people are talking about, you know, moving on from like a Richard Rodriguez, selling when he's high because he's coming off a pretty solid year after a down year in 2019. What do you see as like a general trade value? I think for a reliever usually comes greater within the season, but would there be a potential to move some of these relievers in the off season?
Yeah, I think there will be a ton of interest, and I think you're right that he probably does have a little bit more value. Teams have a little bit more sense of urgency at the trade deadline, and you kind of know what you're getting with these guys during the season because you just don't know from year to year. At least with 90% of these relievers, doesn't matter if they were good last year. You don't know what you're getting. You know, you can get a sense of it just based on their track record. But Richard Rodriguez has been good for a couple of years, so a team can look at him and go, yeah, I think he's going to be good next year. But, you know, he's not going to be our closer. He'd be a really good seventh inning guy. That was, you know, what are we going to, you know, trade for 3 years of Richard Rodriguez to be one of our really good middle relievers, seventh inning guy, maybe an eighth inning guy? I think, and that's the thing that the Pirates have to weigh, is, look, if we're trading away the 1 or 2 reliable relief pitchers that we have, what does that look like? Even if we know we're not going to be good, there's a big difference between, you know, a team that's just not quite there yet and a team that's just, you know, a dumpster fire, you know, and that looks really bad for everybody. That's for the fan base, for the team, for the manager, for the GM. It's just nobody wants things to just go off the rails because you have a terrible bullpen. So I think thinking about guys like that, it's the same with Colin Moran. And I think, you know, Colin Moran, if you look at what I have projected right now, I have him in left field. I'm just trying to, you know, it's early, and without knowing if they're going to have a DH, kind of a tough bit because, you know, you're going to get Brian Hayes' third base job, and you still got Josh Bell at first. And so where's Moran fit? He's the one guy who you just kind of know he's solid. He's gonna give you a good at bat. He's gonna have a good season, but maybe he has more value on a good team. But how much trade value does he have? What kind of, you're probably gonna get like a low level, even looking at Sterling Marte and the kind of profile he has, he got some really good prospects, but they're years away from the majors. They weren't Diamondback's best prospect. You're not gonna get as much for Colin Moran, even 3 years of Colin Moran. And so guys like Moran and Rodriguez, you go, well, they fit much, they're more valuable to a competitive team, but we're also not going to get a lot back. But I think those are guys that Chairman Shopson goes, maybe he or, his scouts go, I really love these prospects we can get. Nobody's ever heard of them. And then they pull the trigger on that. But it's also, you're weighing, what happens if I get rid of my best reliever right now? What if I get rid of the only guy who I know is going to give me good at-bats all the time? And that's the difference between, if you just look at the numbers, if your team loses 100 games or 105 games or 95 games, they're all bad. It's all a bad season. But if you're watching that team every day and you're a Pirates fan, the team is just getting crushed and you don't have a chance. And every time you go to that bullpen and it just goes bad. I think that's what you really want to try to avoid, even in these rebuilding situations.
Ben Cherington, he has got his hands full. I mean, even if he doesn't make a huge move, like a huge trade or a huge free agent pickup, all these little moves that he has to make, I mean, don't you agree, man? He's got his, like, he's going to make his money this with all the work he's going to have to do this offseason, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that he's going to have a ton of options in free agency. So let's say their goal is to add one major league starter and a couple of relievers. Because there's so many, and I think after the non-tender deadline, there's going to be a lot more. There's so many guys out there. If you look at the free agent list, there are a lot of guys you go, oh yeah, they're not going to be huge names on free agency, but I would love to have this guy, and he's not going to cost a lot. And so, knowing, the Pirates are going to have, a spot for somebody who's trying to rebuild value, if you just look at, maybe not the first, second, third tier, but after that, you still got guys that are going to come, cheaper and, just like an Anibal Sanchez, a Mike Sears, an Anthony DeSclafani, a Tyler Chatwood, guys like that. But who knows, even a guy like Drew Smyly just signed for 1 year, $11 million. Kevin Gausman gets close to $19 million by staying with the Giants. So I think we don't know for sure yet, but I think there's going to be enough of those kind of guys who have had success. They're veterans, and you just plug them in. And if you look at that rotation, that at least has the potential to be pretty good. So Musgrove, let's see if Jameson Taillon, it looks good coming back. Stephen Brault had a good year. Mitch Keller has showed signs and like any young prospect, he was the number one prospect for a reason. He's got a lot of talent there. And then you plug a couple veteran guys and you hope one of them bounces back and I think you can be okay there. And same thing with the bullpen. You're going to sign a ton of minor league guys in minor league contracts. You can sign, there's going to be a bunch of those guys who have been good in the majors that forgotten about because of injuries or had a bad year, and those guys are out there to find. And it's just, so this offseason is going to be big because I think Charrington's going to have so many options, and he just has to pick the ones. He's going to pick a few of them, and it's either going to work out or it doesn't work out. I look at every team, starting at the beginning of the offseason. All the rosters down, and I put together what they got. And, best case scenario, this team can be pretty good. And even a team like the Pirates, who most people are going to look at and say, yeah, you have no chance. But, optimistically, you can look at them and you go, look, if just from what they have now, if Frazier bounces back to what he was 2 years ago, if DeBrian Hayes is the real deal, and he's not going to be what he was for 30 days last year. That was insane, but he's pretty good. And the kid who's been around the game his entire life, you can kind of see it, see him being able to handle it over a full season. As Josh Bell bounces back, if Gregory Polanco stays healthy and bounces back to what he was a few years ago, if Reynolds bounces back. And then you got guys like Stallings and Gonzalez and Moran who are pretty solid, who can kind of just hold things together. You got a guy like Alfred who has some upside. You have a chance to give him some at-bats. So when you start looking at it that way, yeah, you need a lot of things to go right. But as a baseball fan, you can be optimistic about whatever your team is because you just never know in baseball. You got Cole Tucker who hasn't hit much, but again, he was a top prospect for a reason. And at some point, you think he's going to figure it out. So give him every day at bat. You deciding what his position is going to be. Maybe he's going to be your second baseman. And so it's as a baseball fan, no matter the situation, you can always look at it optimistically because all these guys are talented. They've all been up and down, and it all comes together at some point at the right time, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and like you were talking about, I mean, I think a lot of it is going to be also Ben Cherington just being able to trust and put faith in his, you know, his major league scouting department, his assistant GMs that they are making good, you know, evaluations of the players that are out there, trusting, you know, the minor league scouts, and whoever that would be to trust, you know, their evaluations and the possible development of the players within their system. And, you know, his own coaching staff with, you know, Derek Shelton and Donnie Kelly and all those guys Oscar Marine, just looking to see, okay, I'm leaning on you guys too to try to figure out, you know, who's going to be the best fit, who can we, you know, look to pick up, who, you know, might not be a part of the future here. And it's like you said, it's just going to be, there's stuff to be optimistic about. And as a person that loves, you know, seeing the rebuilding process and just seeing, you know, the off season, I absolutely love with, you know, just any of the things that could happen, because anything could happen. You don't know who's, you know, going to be brought into your team, who's, you know, going to, you know, maybe get a second shot here or whatever it would be. But Jason, I want to tell everybody, you got to go check out Roster Resource at FanGraphs. It is at Jason RR Martinez, and that is on Twitter. But just basically, I just search Pirates Roster Resource, and you can pull up Roster Resources on that, and just it's nice and it's easy to look through to all the other teams. Jason, thank you so much for jumping on today, brother. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, Greg. I appreciate it.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say.